All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
Well, there's a lot going on, Rich. It's been a day. Not much, buddy. How you doing?
Pretty good.
You missed another men's league game, and it's starting to get old. Not going to lie. I forgot about mentioning that to you before we got started here. But, buddy, you got to come to some games.
Dude, I'm trying. I'm working.
No, you're not working.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Buddy, I understand a 9:40 game. I get it. But, dude, we got a 5 o'clock game. Like, it's not date night every night. Like, we need you on the team. We're 1-2.
Not bad.
It's not great.
33.3.
Natty Ice standards is higher than that, and you should understand
that. I understand. It's a little slow start.
Do you? Slow start. You haven't even started.
You got to send the chopper in. Bring me in.
Good chopper. Here we go. Luckily, we found a way to win a game the other day.
Nah, you're on your game?
No, not really.
Contribute?
3 apples.
Oh, not bad. Not bad.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Live Bar and see what they look like.
A couple of them are not bad.
Yeah? Just you and I today, Nast.
I know. Just you and I.
Schedules. Pretty excited about that.
I'm excited, too. Schedules kind of screw things up sometimes when they get changed, but we'll battle. Battle through it. And battle through the elements, the LMO that you used to drive. Like to stuff someone in the back of that fucking thing. You remember that limo? Boys, I wish you would have seen this thing. Oh, you forgot about it, didn't you?
I forgot about that. It was like a 6-month experiment.
Yeah, it was. It only lasted 6 months.
It was a great tailgating experiment.
Oh,
though, too.
My God. It was good for that.
It was good for that.
The LMO. Oh, boy.
Haven't thought about that for a long time.
Just popped in my head, man.
So for you listeners out there, yeah. Nasty's talking about the Honda Element that I somehow landed up
inheriting. How did you end up with that thing? I don't even remember.
I don't even know. It was a poor decision, but great.
Poor decision. Great. Oh,
great,
man.
Tailgating unit.
Yeah, it was good for that, but we're battling the elements today. Yeah. what we were trying to say.
Going through the emotions.
Yeah. As Killer Kaminsky, our buddy, would say, you guys are just going through the emotions out there. Yeah. That's what he used to tell his team. Yeah, I used to laugh. But Flyers, since last week, since we had our buddy Frank on talking about the trade deadline, which is a week away, Flyers lost both games over the weekend. Saturday's game probably deserved better. 2-1 loss. Some guys had some really good looks.
Just couldn't
finish, but it happens, man. That happens sometimes. But the next day in Pittsburgh, that's a tough one. You score six and you don't win. Cal Peterson had a tough day that day. I'm sure he would be the first to say it. You know, you hate to see a guy just have one of those days. He hadn't had a lot of games. I think he was 2-1 going into that. So you like to win if you score six. And to be honest, Jari lets six goals in on 22 shots.
I know.
I mean, he wasn't much better. It kind of reminded me of 2012's playoff series with Pittsburgh where, I mean, every shot seemed like to go in the net. But anyway, it's a tough loss. But you come back in a big, big win Tuesday night over Tampa. You know, you end up being 6-2, a couple empty net goals. But Bobby Brink gets called back up, scores on his first shift.
I know, right?
Remember me?
Yeah.
But that was nice to see. And Forrester's really, man, I'm really telling you hot, what, yeah. Man.
He looks confident.
He does.
The way he's
You know, he's
creating out there. He seems like he's just creating more. Just the confidence level's through the roof. I guess you can't really explain it any other way.
Yeah, he definitely is. You know, he made the move, pulled the puck through his legs. And
ends
up probably a goal. You know, you don't want to go in. It wasn't like the greatest shot, but it doesn't matter. It went in. It was a great move, a confident move, like you said. Yeah. And that's how he's playing. So that's good to see. Big game for him tonight down in Washington. So hopefully get another dub.
Yeah.
Get a little streak going here.
Yeah, we got to bring up, I know we had it on the docket talking about big Matt Rempe in New York. But that Tilly on Saturday.
Pretty good
Nick
tilt.
Nick Delorier.
Yes.
What an epic tilt, first of all. I mean,
you talk about that. That's old school. That's going toe to toe, both guys. We'll get into that in a few minutes, like you said. But yeah, great tilt. Building was pretty fired up. I mean, not many people sitting down when fights happen anyway. But when it's like that, man, it's entertaining.
Yeah. When's the last time you seen a fight like that?
Well, the next day I saw another one. Yeah, right. Like I said, we'll get into that. But you're right. They don't seem to happen as much anymore like that. And for good reason.
Getting
punched in the face. You know, you can attest to that. You used to go toe-to-toe like that. Hell of a pretty good atmosphere there. It's a lot of Ranger fans, but that's just – it's always that way. But the Flyers, I thought they played hard. They, like I said, I think they deserved a little better.
Yeah.
But – you know, it happens. Rangers are a pretty
good
team.
Yeah, they're a good team. Yeah, exactly. They're well set up.
They're a good team. They're going to be tough to knock off.
Yeah, I agree.
In the East here. But anyway, we had Frank on last week. Big trade happened.
Pretty solid trade.
Did you know about the trade?
I knew about the trade. I'm not sure I can explain you the depth of the trade.
I can try. Baller could probably do it better. But Chris Tanev was in Calgary. It was traded. It was a three-team deal. He's traded eventually to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey Devils was the other team involved. They actually get a fourth-round pick, and they did keep 50% of the remaining salary on Tanev's deal. Also, Calgary received, am I saying this right, Baller? Artem Grishnikov? Well, you don't do that. Yeah, he's giving me a thumbs up.
Yeah.
A prospect and a conditional third round pick, which will land for them if they make the Stanley Cup Finals. If Dallas makes the Stanley Cup Finals, they will end up getting Calgary will get that third round pick in 2026. So
pretty creative trade.
Pretty wild how they do that. Yeah. It's almost like sometimes I get confused of why a team would want to take on a guy's salary when you didn't get anything. You got a fourth round pick, but you're the Devils, you want to make the playoffs, could you use that space to make a deal? I don't know. Seems like the trade for Markstrom, you know, going to the Devils doesn't seem like it's going to pan out or work.
Yeah.
And I think Frank kind of said that last week, but I think they need a goalie in New Jersey.
I agree.
But I guess we'll see. We had a week.
Is there some sort of like future strategy around taking on someone's money like that? Like doing someone a favor or
maybe kind
of teeing up something in the off season?
That's a good question. I don't know enough about some
of these side deals.
I don't understand that. I know Arizona takes these contracts on to get to the floor,
right?
Get
to the floor, yeah.
But
which is a whole other animal in itself.
I don't understand that either, but. I understand it, but I don't. Why don't you just try to get some players there? Well, I understand the building you're playing, and I get all that. Yeah. But anyway,
they don't generate enough revenue to pay more. Well, that's floor, a good, basically.
Yeah. So
just got to get to the floor just to survive.
I really like when I would get to go to Arizona.
It's a great spot.
It's a good spot, and they've got a team that plays really hard too. You got to give them credit. But anyway,
You think the Flames got enough for Tanev? I mean, second in a. Kind of a meh prospect. This guy's considered between him and Walker probably the best D-man on the market.
Yeah, that's a great point, Baller. I don't know what people thought they were going to or what other teams maybe had offered, but maybe they didn't get anything better. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah.
Right? Like that.
If there would have been a better offer, they would have taken it.
Yeah, I feel like they probably would have taken it. I mean, obviously, if you're Tanev, you want to go to Dallas. They're probably the best team in the West. One of the best, anyway. That's a place he probably is happy to go to.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, real chance to win the Stanley Cup. Yep. But that's a great point, Baller. Maybe that's all they got. Maybe that's all they were offered, or the best offer that they got, I should say.
Sounds like it would have been, right?
Yeah. I mean, why else would you trade him?
That's it.
Unless maybe they know something about Artem.
Yeah. The prospect. You got some scoops.
But. That's a great question, Baller. That should have been a clear question, Baller.
Yeah.
You should have dialed that one in. Back to your boy, Matt Rempe. This guy's fight card's not bad for his first, six games? You know, obviously we talked about the Matt Martin, and then we just kind of spoke about D'Lo, his fight with Nick DeLaurier on Saturday. Then he turns around and then Columbus and fights Olivier.
Yeah.
And, I mean... I hate to. Oh, he got his ass kicked. He got punched in the face a lot. He got tagged, but that kid stood in there and threw him and took those punches and landed some. But man, you talk about your first week and a half in the league.
It's busy.
Busy. Yeah. Busy. And you know, I was watching the fights. I watched them all a bunch of times. I wanted to ask you about this because, like, he's 6'8". And he's just going toe-to-toe, and he's taking the punches. He's tough, obviously, because you get punched in the face like that, especially Olivier. The Olivier fight was where he got tagged about 7-8 good ones.
Yep.
Don't you think maybe, like, someone steps in to try to help him with that reach? I know you talked a little bit about the boogeyman back in the day, God rest his soul, but what are your thoughts on that with his height?
Yeah, I mean, to what you're saying, I think a guy that big – has to use his reach a little more, right? I mean, that's one of his biggest advantages is his reach. So I think he's getting caught up into fighting other guys' fights a little bit. Love the, you know, the energy and the fearlessness and all that he's bringing. But I think if he's going to be able to sustain this run and not get hit as much, for a guy that size, you should definitely be using that reach and getting guys strung out and fighting that fight. Because again, I mean, it's one thing to get hit a lot early on, you know, in your pro career, but then it's gonna wear on you,
right?
If you're getting
tagged
that much, I know, like, you know, it wears on you. But I was the guy, like, you know, trying to get inside a guy like that, right, and make him fight my fight, and you know, I think his job should be to get me the hell out and string me out and you know, and try and pop me with bombs, but
man,
but nonetheless. Love his enthusiasm and his relentlessness. And, you know, again, four fights in six games. He's doing exactly what he needs to do to get noticed. I mean, there's been a ripple across the NHL. I mean, I think that fight against DeLaurier was shown on every national, not even just sports network, but every news station across the U.S. and Canada, probably, because you don't see that anymore. I think it's re-energized. You know, the physical part of hockey to some degree, right? There's still room for a guy like that. I mean, he obviously skates well enough, and the Rangers are a pretty solid team for the call him up and give him an honest chance like that. He must be doing something right in the minors, but I think he just needs to get more reps. I mean, he's got a lot of reps in early here, but I don't think he fought a ton in the minors, and I don't think he's fought a ton in his career, honestly. Right. I mean, he's probably such a big guy. Who the hell wants to fight him? But I think as he gets more reps and, you know, probably, you know, find that coach or someone to just kind of help him understand that a little more.
Right.
He could be really dangerous. Because, again, you mentioned Bugard. Like, when I played junior hockey against Derek Bugard, guy was 6'8", you know, I think he's probably floating around 230, 240 at that time.
Right.
He didn't know how to use his size yet. He was still a gamer and still fighting everybody. It wasn't until he turned pro and started to learn how to be dangerous and use his reach and string guys out that he became the boogeyman. You know? So I think this guy's a better player.
Right.
And he's equally as hungry. Right. So if you just learn that technique to be even more, you know, feared.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I mean, it's crazy. He might float around
for the next 10 years and collect some decent cake.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely – it's funny because, you know, after that fight with Martin, well, D'Lo talked to him at the center ice. You know, Baller may have posted that. You know, he's leaned over talking to him respectfully.
Yeah.
You know, hey, kid, you know, let's go. And then Olivier the next time, like, he's opening guys' eyes now. They're going into Toronto Saturday. That'll be very interesting to see – if Reeves is in the lineup, and if, you know, hopefully Rempe is, because, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie. I hope they are, and I hope they go, because I would love to see it. I think
if they put Rempe in, Maple Leafs have to put Reeves in. It would be foolish if they didn't.
They have to, and along with the fights, too, Rempe's playing physical. He got tossed out of a game in New Jersey last week, and it was a clean hit. And the league, there's zero discipline. And I was kind of shocked. Yes, it's a headshot, but it's not a targeted headshot. I feel like Bastin put himself in that position for one. And kid 6'8".
6'8", yeah. Like, what do you expect? I mean,
you're going to say, well, you're 6'8", you're not allowed to hit people.
Well, that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, and our good buddy Jay Rosehill, I saw a little clip of him yesterday. I was dying, him talking about that whole thing.
He ripped on Bastin a little bit.
He was fine. He laid her on the ice.
He was embellishing it a little bit.
And then Trouba crushed him right after that.
Yeah.
But we may have even talked about that last week a little bit. But anyway, kind of looking forward to tomorrow night and seeing if him and Reeves get to go. Now, does Lavi as a coach say, hey, don't worry about that, like, just play? Because I know Lavi likes tough guys.
Yeah, no, he does. I mean, I think going to Toronto, what's he going to say, don't fight
don't?
Him? I mean,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Like, you know, it's one of those things. Like, he knows what Matt's trying to do, right? He's trying to make a name for himself and get them some street credit early. How could he not think about going into Toronto and fighting Ryan Reeves, right?
Sure,
I mean, I'm sure anybody that has any bit of understanding of the fighters left in the league is looking at that Saturday night game and
100%
circle it on their calendars, expecting the heavyweight bout of the year, you know?
But
we'll see.
I remember you in the summer when you used to spar and do all that shit, you know, the karate and you were like
Greco-Roman wrestling.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna
dirty boxing.
I'm gonna be smarter when I'm fighting, you're telling me, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. So your first tilly, toe to toe, swinging, fucking balls of walk. I remember after, I'm like, I thought you were gonna like try to like protect yourself. Nah, I just had to get in there.
No, I was just tucking my chin a little more. Just tucking the chin a little more.
We're just throwing
That's about it.
Bombs.
This is about as smart as I got fighting.
Yeah, but it worked. It worked. Nah. It's just funny, but kind of talking about,
I wish I'd have been smarter, but maybe my next life.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Maybe if you get into Tilly and Men's League, you'll do, you
know. Yeah, I'll be nice and strategic with my
string guys out. You got long arms anyway.
I got a question for you, Riggs. Like, seeing some of the shots this guy's taken, so many in such a short period of time, do you think he has to, like, tone it back a little bit, or is it more just actually defending himself in the fight?
Yeah. I think it's I don't think he needs to tone it back. I think it's to what we're talking about, just defending himself a little bit more. It's just being a little more strategic with the punching and the receiving, right? I mean, it's like
he's receiving a
little bit more. He's absorbing a little more than he should be at this point. But I get it. Like, he's hungry and he's coming in. And really, I'm not sure how much of a game plan he has besides just bringing the heart and the hunger. But I think over time he's going to be forced to be a little smarter. You know, maybe get that grip solidified a little earlier, and then, you know, maybe maybe play, you know, again, working on fighting his fight versus like getting swallowed up and just the adrenaline of the fight. But yeah, I mean, it's easy to go guns a blazing early on like this and, you know, take some hits and still be fine and shake it off and all that stuff. Yeah. But it's going to get old if he keeps going at this pace, and he's going to have to do something to be able to sustain himself. So, we will see. I do appreciate his willingness, and, I think he'll be naturally forced to. He's going to eat a few. Like, again, see what he learned from that Olivier fight, because he definitely if he didn't get a conky on that one, he was on the spectrum of one. Ooh. Because
he looked like you with the, you know, Rocky Raccoon there. When, you had when that Brash a couple times.
Kicked my ass there, yeah.
No, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. No, but for sure. He took some, he took a beating that day, but he stood in there. I was very impressed.
Yeah, by that, for sure.
Because he took a lot.
He doesn't have a billboard though.
No. Not yet. He may by the end of the month, or
he might
maybe mid month. Since we're March here now.
Probably get a free drink anywhere he goes. I'll tell you that. Free dinner.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's one way to get on the map.
Talk of the town there, boy. Yeah.
You get a fight like that, it goes national, viral, national. I mean, you're gonna get some eyes on you.
He's done that.
Yep. So what else we got?
Well, Chris Chelios.
Oh, Chelly.
One of the best American-born players. Had his jersey retired in Chicago. Just so happened to fall on the same night as Patrick Kane's return.
Yeah.
And, of course, he buries the overtime winner. And
what a goal, too, hey? Showtime. Makes it look easy.
Oh, my God.
He was looking behind his shoulder before he watched that.
He's slow. So good. But I thought they did a great job, man. Chelly played 1,651 games in the National Hockey League, man. It's insane. 948 points.
He looks like he'd still play.
I know. He's in great shape. Our buddy O'Brien, Obi says, if you can't tone it, tan it. Yeah. He tans it and tones it. Oh, yeah. Hey, Chelly? He tans
double,
it and
double
tones
whammies
it.
That one up.
Yep. He's Chelly's a 3-time Stanley Cup winner. Yeah. He won a Norris 3 times. I mean, unbelievable player. Long, long career.
Yeah.
Because he kept himself in shape, you know?
Yeah,
100%.
He's a pro. He's pretty cool. Old school.
Yeah. Old school.
You know,
everybody knows the stories of him riding a bike
in the bike, sweating it out
in the morning.
First one there. Get it out. Be a pro.
He's got a pretty cool list of like buddies too. Eddie Vedder played his after the post ceremony thing. His
Michael
party.
Jordan.
Yeah, like all these guys.
Of course.
Pretty cool.
Let's see what happens in your legend.
Yeah, it's the truth, man. But congratulations to Chelly. That's awesome, man. They retire his number.
Yeah. Cruising out with his mom, too.
Yeah, in the car?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you said that. They gave him a car?
I don't know if they gave it to him. He's ripping around out there. His old his teammates coming on the ice.
No, that was cool, man. That was super cool.
Some old legends there. Denny Savard out there.
Yeah. Did he do any pirouettes?
No.
Probably still could.
Oh, sure.
You know, Canner. You got any Canner stories?
Well, you know, at the Olympics, I think you saw that video when he sent a video to Elvis a few years ago for his birthday, and he said, he says to Elvis, they call me Showtime. I think you're the new Showtime. He goes, I actually got that nickname from your dad at the 2010 Olympics. But he would come over and he'd put his gloves down and he would like squirt the water and put it on me. He's like, what do you want to see? And I'd be like, Showtime. And he's like, so that's how I kind of started doing that. But he's just a good dude, man. We became good buddies, you know, with the USA stuff, and always stayed in touch with him, man.
Yeah.
And obviously, just as Chris Chelio said, this guy's the best American-born player.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can argue that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Great guy, yeah.
I never knew you gave him the nickname Showtime.
I mean, I don't want to sit here and say, oh, I'm the only one that did it, but I used to say that to him, and then that's what he said the video to Elvis. So, you know, I don't know. I don't want to try to take all the credit. Something like
you get
that,
because
he is Showtime.
You get all the credit.
He is Showtime, and that's just the bottom line. He's the best.
How about old Connor Bedard? Give him a little board sandwich there.
Well, yeah, well, what's that all about? Just lucky Kaner didn't grab.
Set in the tone. I saw a little interview after the game. Did you see that? He was making a joke to the media about Bedard's leaning on you, and he's like, oh yeah, he's like lucky didn't get mad and scrap. Got the gloves, but
Man, it couldn't have been any better though. What a night, except for Chicago, but for like, you know,
him Chelly
getting
OT.
All that, and then he scores an OT like come
a sick goal.
Oh, it was awesome, man. He's
fitting.
So good.
You could see the fans, like the Chicago fans.
You would have thought Chicago won.
That's it, right?
That was the greatest part.
Excitement before he even scored.
Yeah,
and just like, damn. Well, how fitting though.
Yeah, he's playing really well. Knock wood, and I tell you what, man. Detroit's playing well.
Detroit is playing well.
So we'll see what happens. Our good buddy Jeff Carter just played his 1,300 game.
Carts.
Cartsy.
Yeah, no big deal, right? 1,300 games.
1,300. It's amazing, man. Congratulations, brother.
He's built to be a hockey player. Talk about a thoroughbred.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
guys, you'd be jealous if you saw this dude.
Cruise down the right side, rip the puck off the wing, look like effortless.
Like it's nothing.
And just rip it high heat.
Yeah.
Right over your shoulder.
Yep. Oh, man. Good dude.
Going strong, yeah.
Yeah, he's going strong. And another friend of ours got his 100th win.
Who's that?
Anthony Stolarz.
Oh, of course. Stolarz, the goalie.
That's right.
Yeah, what a beauty.
Good for him, man. He's doing really well there in Florida. Him and Bob look like a great tandem there. You know, Stoli's picking up the wins when he gets in. And my good buddy, Coach Bozak, who's at Hollydale,
does
the Rebels and Elvis and kids everywhere. Like, he's Stoli's coach. So that's cool. 100 wins,
that's,
man. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So to a guy that was
great
told he wasn't going to play again somehow. Yeah.
I love Stoli,
okay.
Man. I'm so glad he's doing well.
I am too. What a great guy. And he did say he's going to jump on the show with us as well.
Yeah, we got to get him on.
One guy, I think you've met, Thomas Anderson, the train.
Oh, man. I don't
know if you've met him.
He's a beauty.
But he just worked his 1,000th game, professional game. And I want to congratulate him because he's a really good buddy of mine. That whole crew down there, Teddy, Joe, Dakota, Chunks, Tink, Train, throw that video up there, Baller, when you get a minute. Him doing his little crab dance.
Oh,
this guy's a beauty.
What a character.
Could tell some stories, but I can't tell them.
No.
I'd love to, but what a great guy, and congrats, bro. Love you, man.
He's
thousand
down
games.
In Florida, right?
He's in Florida Panthers,
yeah.
And they had a nice little video where all the boys were just like, he's the glue. This guy is the glue,
yeah,
man.
He is. He's a character down in
Well,
what do you call those FAPS or what was that? What's the meeting you go
P-hats,
to?
P-hats. Oh, yeah.
P-hats.
He's
guy
just a beauty.
Just wound right
this guy
up
was in, not exhibit, exhibits. He's in a couple videos. He was a TV actor when he was a kid.
That's right.
He was on Nickelodeon or Disney. I forget what it is, but I mean, he is just an absolute beauty. And I love the guy.
Yeah, he
I
is funny, man.
He's awesome.
Must keep that locker room loose.
Oh, my God. He's so funny. But other than that, that's about it, man.
Is it?
I think so.
I got to talk to you about my day yesterday.
Well, let's hear it.
play a little pickleball.
Oh, first that's right.
First time. Yeah, I went to this Bounce pickleball facility in Malvern.
Yes.
Let Paul me guess Holmgren. Who
you went. I was going to say, Homer. Did you go to Homer?
Well, Homer was the ringleader.
Loves it.
Actually, Brad Marsh, president of the Flyers alumni, is putting together a pickleball tournament.
No way.
For the alumni with the pickleball... whatever, Association of America.
Yeah, yeah.
Of some sort. In September. So we went down there to do a promo. So my first time playing pickleball, and I'll tell you what.
You loved it.
Loved it.
Yeah.
We got to do a pickleball tournament now.
Well, let's do
it. We got to get you out there.
Dude.
You would love it. You'd be good.
I'm a tennis guy.
I know you are. You're light on your feet. You got some good strategy.
I got strategy.
I'm telling you, man. It's like I can see why this is
Were you afraid to beat Homer? Was he throwing any elbows? Or
he's pretty.
Not
he's
the
pretty,
skate zone basketball league?
No, no. He's on the other side of the
he's
mesh
on the other
there.
Side of the net. Buddy, he years ago, he would have chased you around.
Oh, I know he would have.
If he got mad.
And now he was tame.
He doesn't like to lose.
Oh, I know he doesn't. So, of course, he shows up. He's got a cut across his nose here. Hand all bandaged up.
Why didn't you take a picture of him?
Oh, I know. Should have. Well, we might actually we took a group picture, so we could actually maybe pull that up and see it and zoom in on that.
Okay.
But he's like, I'm like, Homer, what's up? Like, what happened? He's like, fell in pickleball, crushed his hand, and then he swung with his own racket, and then came back across and cut his own nose.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, the price to pay to win, Nast. You know.
He will do anything. He will anything dive out there.
Anything to
He'll
win.
Dive. I know.
Anything to win. That's right. Him. So,
you say anything about the man bun and beard?
No. I think he's just looking at it.
He's sick of it.
I just can't believe how good it looks.
He does not like the beard. I talked to him about that. He said you were lying about that.
No
shit.
Way, man. He was eyeballing it. I think he was thinking about
eyeballing it. Yeah. Like, cut it. If you still worked for him, it would not be there.
I think he's thinking about growing one out.
He's not.
And a man bun pony.
You should make a picture of his beard on Homer. Oh, that's awesome. No, yeah, he talks to me about pickleball all the time.
Man, I'm telling you, we got to do it.
I want to do it.
We got to do a tournament. We got to have some fun.
Place right beside us
really,
here.
Yeah,
they play every day. They're out there.
Let's do it, man, because there's something there. It's fun. I mean, you talk about, you know, tapping into that competitive spirit without pouring out like a shitload of effort, right? I mean, there's strategy, you know, obviously positioning, obviously way less running than tennis.
Yeah.
More around the philosophy around ping pong, I guess you could say, like less movement, but just like the shots, just the importance of placement and all that good stuff. But yeah, I think you love it. So I played it
with Elvis and I beat shit out of him.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Like 8-year-old kid.
Smashed a few at him.
Yeah, hit him in the head a couple times.
Yeah, Fridgie was there, the Hound, Marshy, Homer, and it was fun.
That's
it was,
awesome.
Yeah, it was good turnout. Like seriously, like the couple guys working with us, pickleball pros. One guy told me he retired from the corporate world, loved pickleball so much, became a pickleball pro. Now he's playing pro and teaching as a pro at these facilities.
Wow.
And man, it's cool, man. It's
yeah,
fun.
It I, is.
I can
it's
see,
a lot
I can
of fun.
See why people go and play.
Yeah.
It's just like, I get it. And so let's do something.
So
man.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do
know
it.
I know Debo loves pickleball.
Great tennis player.
There you go.
Great
get him,
tennis
get him
player.
Moving.
You didn't tell us that ball.
Sectional champion.
Sexual champion.
Whoa,
sectional. Oh, sectional.
Sectional.
I thought he was like calling himself sexual chocolate. I didn't know what he was saying.
Oh, father. Father. Father.
Debo, sectional champ. I did not know that. We'll have to look that up. Got to find a picture.
Check
Debo
some stats.
Holding the racket.
Just got to
like
be
Pete
some
Sampras.
Sort of.
Looks like a little bit like Petey.
Petey.
Not so much Agassi with the long hair.
There's a good picture of you somewhere with Coetzee and the trophy.
I think probably is.
We've got a...
What are you speaking English today? What'd you just say?
Probably is.
We got to dig it out of the archives.
We're going to dig that
Let's
one out.
Let's dig it out.
Debo's alive, baby.
Another Flyer alumni event I wanted to mention. Next Friday.
Okay.
Friday Night Fights.
Yes. Our buddy... Matthew Barnaby,
Stu Grimson, Donald Brashear is coming in.
Brash,
yeah, and then I think Chief's going to be speaking.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
oh,
talking. And it's sharing stories, so it's not like formal speaking. It's sharing stories. I believe Dave Brown, Moose DuPont, and I think Coetzee is going to be emceeing, and others there.
Nice.
So if you guys are around, check it out.
Yeah, for sure, we'll be there.
Where the hell is it? We're gonna post that out there. I think it's somewhere in Philly, but we'll make sure that we get the appropriate location, but that should be fun. That'll be my first one. This is the third year they've done it. I've been out of town the last two, so Matthew Barnaby, he's been here, more dates. He's been on before, so.
Yes. Yeah, that'll be cool.
It'd be fun to hear some old school
and
stories.
Our buddy Dave Brown said he would come on the show as well. We just got to line that up with him. It's just crazy with these schedules, but yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun, March 8th.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
Then I had a little visit with our friends at Indigo Dispensary yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, our newest sponsor.
Yes.
Indigo Dispensary.
Good people.
Woodlawn, New Jersey?
Yes, Woodlawn.
You've been a couple times.
Yes, I have.
What are you getting? You pop in there.
I'll get a little help for sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, for my nighty-night. Need a little assistance? Just helps me stay asleep.
Yeah?
It's awesome, yeah.
Waking up fresh?
Wake up fresh.
Yeah.
Funky fresh.
Funky fresh.
Yeah.
I found these little 5 milligram capsules. A little caffeine. Yep. Called Go.
I had one.
A little green tube. Yeah, you like them.
You gave me one. Yeah, they're really good.
Subtle, but effective.
Yes.
Keep you rocking through the day.
Keep you going. Debo might need to jump on that.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost nap time.
So we're looking forward to keeping this partnership kosher. And working together and getting you listeners out there a little code. Get you some discounts over.
Yes, for sure. Great store too, man.
It's great. Nice and bright, vibrant.
Yeah, everyone in there is great energy, excited, like happy to help you. It's awesome. Great place, great people.
So I think it's that time to ask. No guests today, but we got clear questions.
We have clear questions?
I believe so. I think Baller's got some up his sleeve.
The clear questions are brought to you by Clear Rum. Go to clearrum.com/shop. Type in Nasty 2023. Get 35% off of your order. PA only. Get it in you. It's the best. Hydrate while you dehydrate.
Yeah. Strong philosophy.
It's the best. Baller, what do you got?
Starting us off here, we got D Burns over on Instagram. Burns, you would like to know who would win in a fight, Sam Moran or Matt Rempe?
Man, what a question. I think we were talking about that. Someone was asking me about that the other day. A lot of similarities with, obviously, their length and their reach. That would be a great fight. It would
be a good fight. I think, just in general, it would be a great fight. I would say that Sam had probably learned how to use his size and reach a little bit better than Rempe has at this point.
At this point, yeah.
However, his fearlessness and his willingness might just kind of neutralize that, that, and just him just being an absolute gamer and reckless in there could be just as effective, it would be a good one. Two big boys, really hungry big boys. I'm not sure I could say who would win that one. I think it would be like a minute long, barbaric, just bombs both sides.
And yeah,
that's the way I'd see that one. How would you?
That's a great question. It's funny that was Burnsy asked that because someone mentioned that to me the other day about too bad Sam's not still playing because that'd be a great scrap.
You got to pick a winner. Come on. Who's winning?
Well, like he said, I think Sam has fought a lot more.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Sam then. If we're picking a winner, I'm going to go Sam because he has more experience. And maybe he understands how to use his reach, his wingspan a little bit more. And, I've seen Sam lose his shit and, he gets,
mad
and maybe that's not necessarily the best way to fight, but nonetheless, I've seen him.
We haven't seen Rempe really get mad yet. He's fighting because, he's fighting, he's getting ass, but like.
Yeah. I haven't seen him necessarily win either. Right. Like destroy someone, or knock someone down, so, and that's okay. I mean, it's like it comes, man. He's fighting big boys, and he's getting street credit. But I think in that one, I'm gonna go Sam.
Yeah.
We got Brandon McComsey over on Instagram. He would like to know what it was like with the HBO 24/7 following the team around leading up to the Winter Classic, and what was your favorite moment of that series?
Well, it was actually pretty cool. Like, the first day or two, you're like, they're there, but you almost, and when we had like meetings, they're like, you'll get used to it. You won't even realize, you'll just do your own thing. And that's really what happened. After a couple of days, they're everywhere. They're all over the place. And you
part of staff almost.
Just,
right?
It really is. And they became that way, which is cool. We got to know them really well over the 2 weeks. Great guys. And it was just like, you just do your thing. And I could be talking to you about something. And next thing you know, there's a camera right there. You know, you just keep talking. You just kind of don't even pay attention to it. Really, that is what happens. They were all over the place. They did a great job of that too. I've rewatched it a few times, but probably, I guess if the other question was my favorite part. I mean, I don't know. The whole experience was really cool. I'm trying to think if there's one thing that stands out. It would have been nice to win the game.
Yeah.
But I thought it was done really well. And I guess, you know, after Briz did some of his stuff, you know, like when he was on, he kind of, you know, told his side. But I mean, it was funny. I remember watching that and just thinking, well, you know, we were on the road. I think we watched the first episode. I think it was the first episode, and he's talking about that, and he's got that look, and that's how he would be in my office talking to me about shit. It could be about anything.
Yeah. You
know? So that was like really made me laugh because I'm like, man, this is him sitting in my office every day, like telling me stuff, and so engaged and like so into what he was talking about. That was probably one of my favorite things is when I saw that, you know, Briz doing his whole universe.
The solar system is so humongous big.
But the whole 2 weeks, whatever it was really cool. And like you said, they became like part of the staff, all the camera guys, and you know, it was just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, I can imagine. Yeah, some of those clips, man, I still smirk it. And just you don't even have to say anything. You just see Briz's face pop up in those clips.
You know,
just his, like, the look he has. It just, yeah, like, I just got to laugh and smile.
His eyes are all big. And one thing I will say now, just popped in my head. I've seen the clip a lot, like on YouTube, and Ballers probably even put it out there. But when we played in Dallas and we were mic'd, and Lavi went to leave, you know, and you take the shortcut. Staff usually takes shortcut, and Steve Ott didn't want him to. He's like, show some respect, and Lavi's like, basically, fuck you. Pushed him, you know, just whatever. That was pretty funny, and that was also G's first game back because he had gotten a concussion. And
all right.
He had like 3 or 4 points that night, and he was also mic'd, and he's taking that face-off ball. I'll probably put that up where he says, you know, Steve Ott's like, yeah, I'm top five. He goes, no, I didn't say you're bad at it. And he just wins straight back.
Yeah, such a good clip.
We got Anthony Giampaolo over on Twitter.
Ooh.
What's our go-to beverage in the morning?
What do you got, Nas? You crushing a clear rum?
I do not in the morning.
You're not breaking
I don't break the fast with a little punch. Clear rum. I usually have a water and a coffee.
Water and a coffee? Yeah.
Get it in me.
Yeah?
I like coffee in the morning.
Are you remineralizing your water?
No.
No?
I'm not remineralizing anything.
No lemon?
No lemsy? No.
You don't squeeze a little lemon
in
there?
I don't squeeze lemon.
A little Himalayan pink salt?
Nah. No? None of that. I have it. I do have that, but it's just...
You don't want those electrolytes?
I don't need them. I get those through Gatorade. I don't need
drinking the Pedialyte pink salt.
I do have Pedialyte. Yeah. No, I do that. I put that in my drinks.
Yeah, you do. You're crushing out the drinks. Stadium series. I do it. You love
Pedialyte.
You love hydrating while you dehydrate.
That's why you
haven't aged since you're
clear. Clear rum has water in it, right? So then I add Pedialyte, so I'm really hydrating.
Yeah,
because one hydration cancels out the dehydration, but then I'm adding another hydration, so I'm actually hydrating.
So it's a net gain. You're actually hydrating.
See? Now you can get back at it now.
Well, that's why you got
now you can start.
That's why you don't age. Because you're dehydrated. You are hydrated. You're not dehydrated.
The last 3 years I've had, I'm aging.
Yeah, well.
Heavily.
You don't look it.
Oh, I feel it.
Yeah?
I don't know. Even today.
Even today.
The elements.
Yeah.
The elements
today.
Of today. But just
battling
the
elements. Yeah. So, yeah, for me, it's water, lemon, Himalayan.
Yeah. No cough.
Well, then right after.
Yeah, of course.
Somewhere after, I have a little coffee. Yeah. But actually, well, I had coffee today. I went like 4 or 5 days, a little coffee there last week. Just pausing.
So you're like super jacked when you have a cup of coffee after four or five days off. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You're buzzing. You're like fro.
Feeling it.
You're like fro.
Yeah. It's exactly like that. Yeah. So
We got Leo Barker over on Twitter.
Oh, Leo.
He's giving you guys two options here.
Oh boy.
Would you re-sign Walker and Sealer to team-friendly deals for the next 3 years, or trade them both for good return, prospects, pick, etc.? What are you choosing?
Well, you have to know what the prospects are, right? Like,
he said good return, so.
Okay, well, I mean.
That are going to help the Flyers win a cup? I mean.
The one thing is, like, for me, like, I just think a guy like Nick Sealer, you keep. I don't know. I mean, I understand people want him, and nothing against Sean Walker either. But if you're going to get good returns, of course you want to make those trades. But you don't know until later, right? But to me, Sealer does so much, man. Like
I agree. Like, as a depth D man too, if you kept him for 3 years,
yeah.
I mean, if he keeps improving like he is too, and again, he's a Flyer.
It's hard to find
those types of guys that keep improving and good team guys. I mean, I might split down the middle, and if there was, you know, an option to split down the middle and keep Seals, and you know, in this analogy here, because I think those guys are hard to come by.
They really are, man.
And just they're good team chemistry guys. And
it took him a while to get there too.
100%. And he'd be a good guy that if, you know, the Flyers, as they get better, you know, if he needs to be moved down a slot and be, you know, be a depth guy.
He's got the right attitude.
He's got the right attitude to be that guy.
Not to say Sean Walker doesn't, but if I had to, I that's a great question.
It is.
Like, yes, if you're going to get great returns.
Yeah, then
I guess you do it. But, like, to me, I just feel like a guy like Seals is so fucking, he's pretty important.
Yeah.
As a guy, because he's not expensive. He plays his bag off. He's willing to get his bag run over
To win
a game.
Do anything,
And he fights for guys. Yeah. Like,
you want your young guys around a guy like that.
Exactly. But that is a great question. I guess I'd like to split it down the middle, too, and keep one of them, but maybe they don't. Maybe they feel like they're going to get good returns, and hopefully they do if they move them. That is a great question.
Yeah, it is. You think if the Flyers could have got Chris Tanev straight up, Nick Sealer, they would have taken
for Tanzi? Yeah, they probably would have done that. They might have done that.
Yeah. Price is right.
Price is right. But, they didn't.
Didn't pull the trigger this time.
I don't think Danny offered enough. You know, for Tansy.
Yeah, you know. But I do like Seals, and I like Walker too. But
yeah,
it's a great question because it makes you think. You know.
Yeah. And it makes you also. It kind of leads to what we've talked about before: is are they going to do anything besides move guys to bring, you know, future, players in or whatever, you know, the prospects or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting, man.
Yep, we will see.
Matt Borst over on Twitter. Tell me something I don't know about Ed Snyder.
Oh. Man, you probably got way more stories about Ed than I do. I mean.
Jeez.
Where to even begin?
Yeah. I mean, great man. Family-oriented guy, obviously, which I think everybody knows that. That's why the Flyers are such a family. Something you don't know about him. I think I've talked about it before. He liked to drive fast.
Yeah.
He has cool cars. He always had rock and roll blaring, and I thought that was cool. Basically, you've heard everyone say nothing but great things about him. I think I told a story a while back about when he called me up to his office, and we're talking about equipment. Not that I didn't think he knew a lot about hockey equipment, football equipment for that matter, because he, you know, had something to do with the Eagles years ago, and he had a old leather helmet, which is really cool. But I went up there thinking, well, I'm going to explain this stuff to him, and he knew a lot of what I was saying, and he made great points because he was trying to get involved with the league and Gary Bettman with all the concussion issues, how the guys are getting bigger, faster. His idea was that adding the extra padding to the shoulder. Remember, they had the rule where the lead came in, you had to add it to the elbows and the shoulder pads. And he's like, I think it's hurting because back in the day we didn't have as many because the shoulder guys weren't as, like, not going to go flying into the glass as much because your shoulder's going to get dropped down 2 inches.
Yep.
But he had a lot of great ideas about that. I may have talked about that before, but just such a smart guy, man.
Yeah.
Knew the game and knew seemed to know everything about it, to be honest with you. Not going to hear us say anything bad about that, man.
Yeah.
He treated us awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, like, you know, above and beyond all that, like, he believed in what he was doing so much, like, right from the start, like, building the Flyers and bringing the team to Philly. Like, I forget where I'd heard it or read it or seen it on a documentary of some sort, but he essentially, like, leveraged his house, like everything he had to bring the team. I think it had something to do with, I don't know if it was lease or he needed money, and whatever he did there, like, it shows you, like, how much he cares and, like, how much he believes in himself and his vision to be able to do that. And then, obviously, once he got the team in place and everything wrapped up, just what he did in the sport and how he brought
the
Flyers on the global map, not just, in the West here, but... yeah, man, so much to learn from a guy like that, because he's just, like, talk about believing in yourself and believing in a vision and an idea and pursuing it to the, you know, basically to the death of you, right?
Yeah,
you're willing to give up, like, everything for it. So, nothing but respect for what he's done for hockey and the city.
For sure.
Props. Big Ed.
All right, we got one more.
All right.
It's from The Real Coomzy over on Instagram.
Coomzy.
Which current or former player, in Nasty's opinion, has the nastiest or just plain horrible tattoos?
Coomzy, what are you asking me right now? Nastiest tattoo.
Any teardrops floating around the league?
Didn't see any tears.
No.
Did not. I hope we don't. No. If it really means what they say it means. Bad tattoo. You know what? I wouldn't say it was nasty. I just thought it was a little different. Remember Bruno St. Jacques?
Yeah.
He got a tattoo on his lower back. And I remember the guys kind of...
Old Target?
Yeah. Gave him shit. You know, they're like, dude, like, that's where girls get tats. You know, like the old stamp, whatever. I remember getting a lot of shit for that. It was back in the day. I mean, it was a good tattoo. It was fine.
You probably covered it up with a full mural. Just like,
his whole back's done. Back,
just cover up.
Like Buck Cherry. I'm trying to think. I don't remember anyone having like ugly tats or anything like that. I just thought that one actually sticks out in my mind just because guys were kind of all over him about it.
Yeah. No regrets.
No regrets. Yeah. No, you sure about that? Yeah. No regrets. Yeah. That's about, man, that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Our good buddy Grant Garcia got a Flyers tattoo put on his back one night when he was loaded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did that turn out?
It was a little messy.
Was it?
Looked like Debo drew it.
You ever see the tat that I did on Gemma?
That was a tough one.
That was a tough looking one. We got to get a baller to pull that one up.
Oh, God. Didn't
look weathered.
What?
Our buddy Jeff Gemma.
He was trying not to scream.
Oh, my God. I was pressing real hard.
I know.
Well, I didn't have the softest of hands, Ness.
No, you didn't there.
Or there, anywhere, for that matter.
Gemma always says, they call me Gentle Gemma. It's like a kitten licking you. I said, yeah. Was it like that when Riles tattooed you? He says, no.
That thing is scarred right up.
You thought you were giving him a real needle. You tried to push it through his fucking arm.
Man, I was watching that video not too long ago. Actually, Gemma came in for the alumni game.
Yeah, I know, and I missed him.
I had breakfast with him the next day, and I was pulling up the YouTube video of me tatting him for my girls.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kaya, so they could see it, and man, did it look swollen. Oh. Talking about my neck and face and like everything, I was like swallowed.
I wonder if our buddy,
I don't know what the hell I swallowed.
I wonder if our buddy Seth will let me give him one. since Gemma let you get it. Let's do it. We'll have to get, because I keep, we've been.
Do the double skull logo right going, on his calf or something.
Yeah. Seth, we're coming to
we're
you.
We're coming.
We're going to get, we're going to video that. Let me give you a little tatsy. I got softer mitts.
You do. Yeah, it would look a little better, but.
I'm just kidding.
I'm going to pull that one up.
Yeah,
it's pretty
for
ugly,
sure.
But it was fun. Cool experience.
So, Combsy, the only thing I think of is Bruno St. Jacques. I don't remember anyone having, like, terrible tattoos. I mean, but I guess that's my answer.
Yeah, if you think of one, we'll
yeah
have to release it in the next pod or so.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's a wrap here, Nass.
That's it, buddy.
A little different episode today. Yep. 149, just you and I.
Yeah, we'll be laughs. Back next week.
Yeah, we'll be back. Got a couple awesome guests in the pipe. So be sure to tune in next week for 150. Can you believe that, Nass?
No, I can't. 150, wow.
What do listeners got to do?
Make sure you like, subscribe to all of our platforms and watch us and listen and ask us questions, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
Anything else? A little tickle too? Or what?
If you want to get tickled.
Doo-hoo.
A little tixie.
Yeah. All right, knuckleheads, until next week, stay safe.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.